All right, you guys can start turning to Romans 8 this morning. I started reflecting this last week and some of the words that God's given us to share throughout the year and realized that He's been preparing us for the time that we're in right now. It's no accident that any of this happened. It's no accident that we've been going through what God's been preparing us for. And He's equipped us for more than we could ever imagine. He's been telling us to look past whatever the difficulty is in front of us and look at the long-term plan and what He's planned for us, what He wants to come forth. Not to look at things with our natural eyes, but to be looking for the supernatural things that you know that it's only God who could do it. Ash and I were talking the other day about how it's just like God that when you're going through something, and whether it be medicine that God puts before you, or prayer, or doctors, or anything, the way our bodies fight it off, sometimes it almost seems like it's quick when the healing finally happens. When the relief comes, sometimes it's almost instantaneous. Very rarely does it actually be a gradual change, and you realize that with that quick turnaround, that had to have been God. There's no other way that you get that relief that quickly. I told you guys last week about how Ashley was battling headaches really bad. And so Sunday night, the relief still hadn't came, so I emailed and told them I'm going to be in late, I'm leaving early, I'm going to take a half day. Well, then the next morning I get up and I start helping Gracie get ready, start making her lunch, and Ashley comes out of the bedroom. I'm feeling pretty good, actually. She actually yelled at me to get out of the house. But it's one of those that quick change comes on so fast sometimes, and you know that God is in it. And it's just like God with those suddenlies. Because you realize it's 100% supernatural, that only God could have done that. To take that pain in the blink of an eye. This past week, Danny, in the blink of an eye, he went from here on earth to being healed in heaven. He was transformed from glory to glory. It's just so wonderful to think of the instantaneous, the quick things that God does. It's up to us to see those things beyond the natural, though. Not to rely only on our physical eyes and ears, but to keep watch with our spiritual eyes and ears. So in Romans 8, starting in verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs until now. Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." I love that last verse there. If we hope for what we don't see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We'll get to that verse in a bit, but let's start out with how the beginning of this paragraph says. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Looking past the present to what we have in store for us. The sufferings of this present time. How many feel like they've been under attack for a while? Times like it just don't seem like it lets up. Like we don't see an end to it at all. The struggle is real. There's no doubt. The enemy loves to see us where, loves to see us getting worn down. The enemy wants to see us grow weary. You know, in the book of Daniel, it talks about how it says, in the end times, the enemy will speak pompous words about our God to try to wear out the saints. The enemy wants to speak words of fear and hope we will believe them. He speaks words to get us to question. He speaks words to try to divide us. He'll speak words to get us to doubt, to wonder. But all of those struggles, all of those doubts, all of those questions, Paul says here that they are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. That the glory that we will know is so much better than anything we can go through. So we're just a little bit over a month before what holiday? Thanksgiving. What's the day after Thanksgiving known as? Black Friday. So how many people have seen the pictures of people waiting in line for stores to open on Black Friday morning? How many people were in those lines? Don't answer that. So I saw seeing hands go up, but don't answer that. We never went Black Friday shopping when we were growing up. But I remember seeing on the news all the pictures of people in line. People were waiting. They were standing out there all bundled up, standing out there for hours, even from the night before. And you guys know I grew up in Michigan, so it's a little bit colder up there than down here. And we would get snow a lot of times in October. So it definitely wasn't uncommon to get it at the end of November. But people were still waiting outside to get that Sony Walkman or the boombox or whatever it was that was on sale at the time. See, they were willing to bear the elements and fight through any pain that they had for something that they thought would be better for what they were waiting for. Because in their minds, whatever they were waiting for was worth it. I remember when we first enrolled Addison into preschool. She was going into pre-K instead of the wee ones, the two-year kindergarten or two-year preschool. And there were only three openings. And people had said how difficult it was to get into the preschool. So there's only three openings. There's going to usually be a big long line. People are usually getting there real early to wait. So I did the same. Middle of February, guess what the temperature was early in the morning when I got there? Minus 13. Yep, I was bundled up. I had my insulated bib overalls on. I had my long johns, three pairs of socks, multiple pairs of gloves and mittens. Felt like Ralphie's brother on a Christmas Story. I can't put my arms down. But I was willing to deal with being cold for a couple of hours and wait because I knew with what I would get coming out of it, it was going to be worth it. Now, granted, God made so it didn't have to go through any of that cold because somebody walked up at 6 o'clock in the morning before anybody got out of their vehicles and we were all sitting in there waiting and they opened up the doors for us. So we got to wait inside. But the suffering of today is nothing to the glory that we will see tomorrow. I'm still in this first verse here that we're looking at. And I'm amazed sometimes at the depth of God's word. Verse 18, there where it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in those famous big-name church pastors." Is that what it says? Oh, us. So you mean his glory will be revealed in us? His glory will be revealed in us. Here's one other thing that I just saw when I was going through this verse this week. And I didn't see it the first couple of times I went through this verse. And it really jumped out at me once I got this revelation. This is what I love about seeing how God's Word is alive and true, how it's evergreen. It's always showing something new. You always see something new constantly. His glory is revealed in us. First couple of times I read it, I thought it said to us. Looking at the Amplified version, for I consider from the standpoint of faith that the sufferings of the present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us. That version even points out both to us and in us. Okay, so that glory is going to be revealed in us. Now, glory is almost one of those churchy type of words that gets thrown around and used, and different people have different views of it. So it gets hard to really understand glory. It's part of that Christianese language that we use, that we really only use it here at church or in our own prayer time. Some people think about gold flakes falling in the air or something physically happening. And it can be, but you don't want to limit God only to that. See, glory, if you want to put a definition on it here, it's His splendor, the brightness, the magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, grace, or a thing belonging to Christ. That is the glory that's being revealed in us. Not that it has a possibility of being revealed in us, but it says that it shall be revealed in us. It's a promise that we can hold on to. Christ's excellence is going to be shown in us. His grace can be shown in us. We can reflect His splendor. Those of you who have been around for a while, you know I like to bring up about how Jesus talked a lot about the kingdom. So many things that He compared to the kingdom, what the kingdom was like. Well, the word glory is a kingdom word. The glory of a king is all and everything in his kingdom that it represents the true nature of the king himself. You can tell a lot about a kingdom by the glory shown in its people. See, a good king doesn't lord over his subjects just to be in charge, just to rule with an iron fist. The people of the kingdom should enjoy serving the king. The happier the people, the greater the glory. The people of the kingdom are a representation of the king's glory. That is why Paul says here that his glory will be revealed in us. We're a reflection of God's glory. We're an example of the nature of the kingdom of God. Jesus' essence is shown in us. Any sufferings we go through is nothing to compare to what God will still show His glory to us and in us. Especially when we speak of His goodness, His faithfulness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul's almost saying the same thing in this passage, that these afflictions are temporary. Look at verse 17 there, if you can put it back on the screen. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Again, suffering is temporary, and it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's nothing compared to the eternal glory that He has for us. We can't focus on the afflictions of today or the things in the natural. We have to focus on the things that we can't see, the spiritual realm, the eternal realm. All of creation one day will recognize the kingdom of God. Keeping our focus on the King will keep us from losing focus on the kingdom. Colossians 1, starting at verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. There's something about a mystery that intrigues me. I played the murder mystery game Clue growing up quite a bit. You know, the one where it's Colonel Mustard with the rope in the library. You have to think and you have to look at and you have to think and think and think. And it's one of those that you're trying to figure out the secret behind what is going on. And that's what he's saying here in Colossians as well. That he rejoices in the sufferings for the sake of the body of Christ, that the mystery may be revealed, to make known the riches of His glory. It's a mystery to those outside to understand how you have afflictions, yet you still have peace. It's a mystery how someone in prison can be singing hymns and songs and yet not lose hope. It's a mystery of how you can still have joy and be a positive influence on what's going on. Not yet revealed to those outside that what they see is Christ in us. That is the secret. That is the mystery. Christ in us, the hope of glory. The essence of His kingdom is seen in us. His glory in us. Christ in us. I'm going to read these passages out of Romans in the Message translation. I actually found we have it on the computer, so that's good news now. So starting in verse 18, that is why I don't think there is any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what is coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reins it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. Here's a section I really wanted to cover. All around us we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing within us. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That's why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. I love this imagery that Paul uses in Romans. He's comparing it to a pregnancy. And the more I looked at that and thought about that in my spirit man, the more it rang true. The suffering can be compared to a pregnancy. Pregnancies are full of unknowns. A lot of you guys know that. Everyone is different too. Even with the same mother, every pregnancy is a little bit different. The first half may be rocky, and then you've got a good second half. Or sometimes the first half is smooth, and then the second half you have a little more pain. But all the while, despite any pains, there's a joyful anticipation waiting for what is to come. Because you know what is coming will be far greater than any of the pains that you're experiencing in the present. Now, I've never experienced delivering a baby. Shocker, I know. But I hear it's painful. Sometimes you have to realize, though, the pain that we have is preparing us for delivery. Whatever it is, with it be physical pain, emotional hurt, persecution, opposition, or how things just never go your way, it's a temporary pain that leads to something that we're just waiting for the fullness of time to come, for the appropriate time to come. Holy Spirit is doing something in us. All the while that that hurting is going on, you can feel that baby developing in you all the more. While we're going through stuff, Holy Spirit's continuing to birth something inside of us. It may be joy in the struggle. It may be patience with others. It may be a newfound love for the Father. It may be revelation of who God is. But the important thing to remember is that God is doing something in you through it all. The pain or the uncomfortableness, it's still there until you carry it for the full term that it's supposed to be. You think about what's going on with the baby. It still needs to grow to the appropriate point before delivery. If you want the baby out before it's time for the baby to come out, it's not going to be ready. Some Christians, they've never been told that they're going to go through hard times. They get to the point where they're going through something hard. They're going through some labor pains. They say, this is too much, and they quit. They give up. They walk away. They abort their baby. They wanted their own comfort instead of bringing forth what was going on inside of them. They didn't realize just how close they were. They were right there, just a little bit more. In waiting for the appropriate time, it doesn't take the pain away. But the longer you wait, the more you anticipate. That rhymed and I didn't even try for it. Put that in your memory banks. The more you wait, the longer you anticipate. There's an expectancy as we get to the end. There's hope in it all. I believe God's getting ready to birth something new that we've never could have imagined on our own. Get ready, church. I've been saying it for weeks. God is up to something. Increase your expectations. Increase your anticipation. God is so faithful. Hold on to your seats. I noticed one other thing too with the verses that we read today. Three times Paul uses the phrase, eagerly wait. Those two words don't seem like they should go together. But that's exactly what we're doing. We're eagerly waiting. We're expecting. We're hoping. God's going to reveal the next steps, and we're eagerly waiting to see what those steps are. And then take that step out of obedience. Romans 8:24. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. In the Passion Translation, but hope means that we must trust and wait for what is still unseen. For why would we need to hope for something we already have? So because our hope is set on what is yet to be seen, we patiently keep on waiting for its fulfillment. We hope for what we can't see. If we hope for something that we can recognize, there's hardly any doubt of whether it will happen, and it's hardly hope at all. Think about when you invite somebody to church and you tell them that we start at 10 o'clock. You hope they'll be there at 10 o'clock. You trust they'll be there at 10 o'clock. If it's somebody that you've never met before, you really are hoping they show up at 10 o'clock. But if you know that if it's somebody who keeps their word, you've got a lot more confidence that they will be there. Think about that with God. We know God. We have a relationship with Him. We know that He's been there in the past. We know that He'll be there in the future as well. His character won't allow anything else. He's shown you His little God winks. Dan and Diane, I'm stealing that phrase. I'm sorry, but it's just so accurate. Those little things that God continues to show you that He's right there. That even if others don't see it, He's shown you that little thing. He gave you that little wink. That little reminder that He is right there. It's part of the relationship that we have with Him. It's part of our hope. Part of our faith in Jesus. We're finishing here in Hebrews 11, in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Faith and hope go together. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Our faith, our hope, is not in what we will get. Not what we might get for it, what it might do for us. Our hope and faith is in God. It's in Jesus. Our faith is in the person of Jesus. That only through Him do we have access to anything else. That He's transposed His nature to us. He's deposited the one just like Him, Holy Spirit, to be in us. He's faithful to bring all the other blessings, all the other promises, because that's His nature. But we have faith and hope in Jesus. We have faith and hope in the things which are not seen in this world. Pressing on all past everything that this world has and what this world throws at us, we have hope because of our loving King. King Jesus. Let's pray. Well, Father, we do thank You for the hope that You've given us. Lord, we thank You that we are eagerly waiting for Your next steps, Lord. Lord, we are eagerly waiting as a mother does as she's going through the birth pains, Lord. Lord, You are getting ready to do something. We recognize that, God. We embrace that, Lord. Lord, we can't wait to see what You're doing. Lord, we endure. what today has for us, God, pressing on for what you have for us. We recognize that you are right here, even in the waiting, God. Do what only you can do. Lord, do what only you can do in us. Lord, we thank you that you reveal your glory in us to others. Lord, help us show your love. Help us show your character to those around us. We thank you, God. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.